This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this endlessly with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 9, Episode 13, a.k.a. the semifinals, a.k.a. the robbery of the century, a.k.a. I'm feeling a lot of emotions right now. I am, of course, your host, Puya, the coffee bean Zam Dakili, ready to go once again. And with me, as always, my lovely co-host, it's Liana the Tea Leaf, Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
Oh my gosh, if only I could have read the tea leaves to predict what happened in this episode of The Masked Singer. Like, let me tell you something. I am gobsmacked. I am gagged. I'm like genuinely shocked. The one permutation that I had never thought of happening, that I had never accounted for. Even as I was watching the episode, I still didn't even think that this was going to happen. Like, I thought we were going to come on here and have absolutely nothing to talk about, but boy, howdy, do we have things to talk about.
Yeah, so we're going to do the format a little different this week. It was the semifinal. The way they had it was all three performers had a song, and then they did a three-way battle royale, and then a result and an unmasking, and then the night was called. So for today, I would like for us to talk about everything wherever we want to talk about, because I feel like that's, you know, to encapsulate the emotion and everything. Screw the structure, okay? So, top of the hour here, California Roll has been unmasked, has lost the competition, and the California Roll was Pentatonix. Okay. This is where I am genuinely surprised, because here's the thing. I obviously had stake in this draft with California Roll, and, you know, I could come off biased if I'm talking about it, but thankfully, I did hear Liana's thoughts as she reacted to the episode that we've seen. And I know that, okay, it's not from a place of bias. I think I'm right here. Macaw should have gone home, and Macaw did not go home.
Okay, let's not go that far. Okay.
You literally yourself said Macaw should have gone. Don't come here and act like you've changed it.
Narratively, I told you that. You said you were like, yeah. And I was like, narratively, narratively. Okay. So here's the thing. Yes, 100%. Puya's on the money. California Roll got eliminated. Everybody was shocked. Hold on. I don't even know. Oh, okay. So I just have a lot of feelings. So here's what happened. Puya watched the episode earlier today. Yes. Came home. It has been a grueling week at work for me, like brutal. I come home, I'm like, all right, let's just relax, let's unwind, let's watch a little bit of Masked Singer, have a great podcast, go into the BB Cam finale. And I come home to this. I was so shocked. I stopped the episode right after the unmasking was announced. I went to Puya and I was like, what happened? Like, I Oh, all right. So one, obviously, I didn't think the California roll was going to go home. Okay, so if the California roll didn't go home, that leaves two options. That leaves Medusa, that leaves Macaw. I believe I predicted last week, Medusa, I thought, was going to go home. We would have Macaw versus the sushi roll in the finale. Okay, lock it up. Then the main performances happened, and I was like, wow, Medusa did a really great job. I felt like they were setting us up for the Macaw to be eliminated because the Macaw went in the middle of the Battle Royale. They guessed David Archuleta. Like, there were all the signs. All the signs were there for the Macaw to go home. It was like the growth arc. Plus, Puya mentioned this, which is you would have the battle of sushi rolls versus the Medusa again. So it's like, oh, that last battle from round one, we get to re-experience. Like, everything, as sad as I would have been to have the Macaw go home, everything in my being after watching this episode thought there was no way the California roll, whatever. I'm so mad I don't even know their name. Out of all of these, we're going to go home. What?
It's a lot, okay? There is a lot. Now that we've gotten that part out of the way, Liana, let's follow the episode so we can fill anyone in that has not watched the episode as to where we went and how we ended up here, okay?
Okay.
So you keep saying sushi roll. It's been 13 episodes. They're the California roll, Liana.
I blame it on the emotion. Okay. I'm overwhelmed.
I'm just saying when you're not overwhelmed, you're still botching names, but it's cool. It's fine.
Look, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm really bad at names. It's like, no, you don't make an active effort to learn their names. So I do apologize to the California roll because they deserve to make it further in this game.
So what dawned on me on this episode that I really feel like is a thing that's canon now is that, in my opinion, the Masked Singer has kind of gone the way of American Idol, the way of America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, X Factor, where the clue packages have been replaced completely by the emotional story of the performer, right? The struggles they may have had leading up to this moment. And that's why I feel like the clue packages right now and for the last couple of weeks have really been a non-factor here. It continued here. California Roll does open up the show. And I did not write the name of the song, Liana, but so do you have that?
Wait, what do you mean? What song?
The song that the California Roll performed.
You mean Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson?
Yeah, I wasn't insulting the song. I just didn't write it down.
Oh, yeah, of course. They did Breakaway. I guess I just watched the episode. So I'm like, how could you forget? They were so iconic.
It was a phenomenal performance to open up the show. I said this last week. I'll say it again. It is an absolute cheat code to have five people harmonizing and doing the low notes while you do the high notes, or doing the high notes while you're doing the low notes. It's incredible. And I thought they killed the performance. They killed the start of the episode here.
I agree with you. Okay, wait. So first, I want to go back to your comment about the clue packages. Because, I mean, this is something that, because people were, like, being eliminated so quick, it was like, either they tell you everything about that person and you can guess them immediately, or they hide a lot of things and give very vague clues. It seems like, based on the longevity of them in this competition. Like, I go back and I look at the California Rolls clues in this package, and the really only things that we get that are useful are number one on the, like, specials board with, like, 5 stars. So clearly they won something or were number one in something. The playing horseshoes. And then the one other thing that I noticed was, like, this is giving me flashbacks to the first time they performed together. And there was a quote that was like, oh my God, am I 19 again? So you could, like, do the math to be like, oh, what age was this group when they first got together? So that could give you a clue. But otherwise, especially with the Medusa, well, maybe a little bit with the Medusa, but the Macaw also felt like not a lot going on.
Right. Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Well, no. I was going to say, like, so I can talk about the performance. Let's see if anything else to say about the clues.
I mean, I genuinely still feel like the clues aren't giving us much. So,
yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree with you. Although, you know, the critique of the early show was like, oh, they gave so much away, especially when they were do you remember when they were doing the heights in season one? And it was like the heights of each of the
that
competitors.
Was bad, because that was very easy to figure stuff out for sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, we are getting to who the people are after the first clue package anyway, it feels like. Some of them we need a second clue package, but...
Yeah,
so definitely, you're not lowering it. If anything, you could scatter the clue package a little bit more. That way you're giving us new stuff every episode, as opposed to, all right, for three episodes, we're giving you all the clues. And then after that, it's more so reflecting on the last round and then how you feel being on the stage at this very moment in your career.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this is not the episode because there's so much other stuff going on to not get into like the clue package methodology. But I do agree with you that I feel like it's like there's got to be a balance. However, you could see a situation where it's like, if I know the person, I know them regardless of how many clues I get. And if I don't know the person, I'm never going to guess them no matter how many clues I get. Although we have been able to narrow some down. So maybe I'm wrong on that.
I mean, anyway, I feel like this season alone, there's been a lot of performers that I only was able to get because of a second clue on the second week that like connected some more dots.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe there's a way around it, but anyway, I digress. So yes, Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson. So my first reaction to the performance was like, oh my gosh, I already love this. I felt like they, you know, the staging allowed them to really just focus on all of the harmonies because they didn't have to do any like real choreography. And I love the way that they were sort of staged throughout the audience where they had the one sushi roll in the middle and then they had the four other little California rolls. They had the four other little California rolls on the outsides. And I thought that, you know, there was no need for the backup dancers. They were able to really just focus on the performances, the performers, the five sushi rolls, California rolls. And then I thought that the lighting was also very cool.
The lighting was cool. The diamonds in the background, the motif, I did enjoy quite a bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole silver vibe, which by the way, the whole silver vibe of the semifinals, I was like, oh, is this because gold is going to be next week? Because it's like the semifinals, even though technically it should be bronze because it's the third place person, but whatever. And oh, the backup dancers. So were their heads supposed to be the trophy? Like the golden mass trophy, but like silver?
I'm not sure.
Because they look like little Playboy bunnies. Like, I don't know if it was the white part of it. They look like little rabbits. And that's all I could see. I mean, I know they didn't really utilize the backup dancers except for the last performance. But anyway, I digress. Okay. So, yeah. So let me just conclude overall by saying I thought the California Rolls did a really great job. I love the arrangement of the song. This was just so fun.
It was incredibly fun. It was a good time. And I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was a great opener to the show. And then the judges seemed to feel the same way. There was mentions that they love how they made the song their own, which is one of my favorite things. After Razzle Dazzle, it's if you can make the song feel like a different song and your own song. I do love it. They were called masters of their own craft, which was great. The extra clue they were given here was that they were going to reveal, every performer was going to reveal which of the four panelists they share a connection with. And they said that they had a connection with Jenny and that our time spent on Broadway is what you may remember us from, which ultimately I feel like just led everyone on to guessing casts from musicals or movies. Even though at the end, two of the four judges did guess correctly.
But it's funny because like, it's not like the Broadway cast guesses felt like, but none of this has to do with Jenny, right? Because the whole thing is like, we share a connection with Jenny and you might remember us from our time on Broadway. And the connection was, well, she goes to a lot of Broadway shows, frankly, The Masked Singer, I would not be surprised if that was the connection. But ultimately at the end, when they get unmasked, I like how Jenny talks about how it was actually related to the New Year's Eve performance, which was on Broadway. So that's actually quite clever. I really liked that clue at the end. But as you mentioned, it kind of sent the other judges off on a little bit of a wild goose chase when it comes to all of the random assortment of Broadway casts that they were guessing.
Yeah. So then we move over to the Medusa, right? Who performs next?
Well, you missed out on all of the ragging on Nick not wearing a shirt, which I didn't. I only caught the lower third, I think, for Robin, but the one for Nick was semi-dressed for the semifinals. I liked it.
Yeah, he seemed to have lost his shirt somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And what was it? I think Nicole had another comment that was like, you know, you're down to the semifinals when he's got his nips out. And not that specifically. That would be a little bit too risque, I think, for primetime Fox. But, you know, it's something along those lines.
It's a family show, Liana. Relax.
Get your nips out for the macaw.
No, Medusa's next.
Okay. No nips then.
Exactly. Okay, so then we get to the Medusa next, and the Medusa talks about how they're on the show, and the person that was closest to them would have 100% been a fan of the show. They lost this person in 2020. They were young, and it was sudden. So no clue from where I'm standing, just backstory on the Medusa.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, right? Because to me, that's a huge clue, right? But as you said, it's just backstory. Like, it's a clue, but not a, oh, it's a horseshoe, right? Which to me is more of the classic clue that we get in previous seasons. So like here, I would say the ship that we saw in her clue package or the picture of Sarah McLachlan. Like, those were the types of things that are like more traditional clues versus the backstory side of things.
Yeah, and it's not like we've not had backstory clues from the jump. I mean, the first clues I think of from season one are the monster and how, you know, T-Pain's life and like his upbringing, like we're hearing a sadder, mm-hmm. like his story, right? So mm-hmm. it's not like these were never present, but I feel like here, it just feels like it's mostly that and not so much, another chess piece or
right
a music thing. It's none of mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, no, totally. I definitely see what you're saying. I would be interested to go back and watch the first season again and like remember what those clue packages were like, because part of me is like, am I making this up in my head? But I at the moment, with no research done whatsoever, think that there are less of those sort of clever visual or audio clues maybe.
Yeah, and I think mostly the reason it's coming up now in conversation for me is potentially the way this episode went, where sure. We'll get there. I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back to topic. Okay.
Okay.
Liana,
okay.
You're going to have to talk about this performance because it's one of your favorite songs. So go ahead.
Oh my. Okay. Look here. Okay. All right. So look, here's the thing. I thought that the California Roll and the Macaw were like for sure going to make it. But as soon as Medusa starts singing the song, one, I love Hozier, however you say his name. I love him. I have his albums on repeat. Look, it's a thing. It happened. So she does take me to church. And as I was listening to this, I was like, I hate that I love this performance. Like, not only do I like the song, I felt like there was less of the over-singing. Her on stage with the gold and all the pyrotechnics just looked so good. Like, so good. The way it was reflecting off her costume. I genuinely think that this is one of her best, if not the best performance that we've seen from her so far. I couldn't help myself. This was a winning performance to me.
This was an incredible performance to me. And I told you last week that you were wrong about Medusa coming third. Like, there was no shot to me that Medusa was on that trajectory. I feel like this is the moment where you got to pivot. And I feel like Medusa performed like they were not going to perform again. They left everything on that stage and I absolutely enjoyed it. I do love when you can do the low notes and like build up and then you mm-hmm. belt out the next one and it's just out of this world. Literally from the judges, I have two words: front runner. And this came on the heels of them saying that this was a very close matchup and anyone could take it. Immediately, like, nope, front runner. Okay. The Medusa's connection was to Robin, and it was to alluding to the fact that their voices took them on a journey, and that journey, they both got platinum on that journey. So again, platinum performing artist. We had a couple mm-hmm. of guesses. I do not believe anyone here guessed correctly.
No. And that was the other thing. My little narrative brain flagged. I was like, oh God, no guest from Medusa. Because we have heard all of them guest before. Right. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we didn't get, you know, we did hear Jenny mention Pentatonix in the beginning, but she then ended up switching for her,
you know, Europe and Hansen.
Yeah, exactly. For her like edited guest, she went with that. And then here, no Bishop Briggs again. We get Robin with Grimes. Nicole was like, IDK, my BFF Jill. And then Ken, I think, said Dido and no Bishop Briggs. So I was just between the performance and then the like narrative stuff. And then also you mentioned it, you were savage, slayed the competition, all those compliments. Oh man, I was like, she's going to the finals. She's absolutely going to the finals and the macaw is going to go home. I'm so sad.
That's how I felt as well.
Preemptively sad.
Yeah, no, to me, that's how it felt as well, was that I was like, okay, so Medusa's in the next round. California Roll is officially in danger. What is the macaw going to do? That's really what we're down to. What is the macaw going to do? So then we get to the macaw, and the macaw's clue package, there is a voting sign, a vote sign, which one of the judges came on, like, you know, they do the little like side video of them, like, oh, vote sign. Maybe they were in a political drama. It's like, no, that's it's clearly a singing competition vote thing. Come on. Which they later corrected, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
When Nicole was going in on it, potentially this is David Archuleta. So
they did that for another one too, where they like showed something and then it was like, maybe it was the, oh yeah, it was the California Roll, the number one on the specials. And Jenny was like, maybe they had a number one at the box office. I was like, what about this screams movie to you? Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So we get to this performance and the song is What Makes You Beautiful by One Direction. Okay. It was fine. It was okay. It did not feel like it was going to get you to the next round. The audience was very much into it and singing along. It felt like I was at a karaoke bar and people were going ham on the song choice. Not to say that the macaws sounded like they were at a karaoke bar performing, because that could come off as insulting. I'm not saying that. But after the first two songs we had seen that they were so powerful, this felt like GG's. Thanks for coming in, macaw, but third place is where you're going to go home. Genuinely felt like it's over. At that point in my notes, I wrote, bye, macaw. I genuinely thought that was that.
I mean, I didn't write that, but I was right there with you. My reaction to the performance was like, oh, this is good. It's great energy. He got some of his runs in. He's got the ad libs. I think it got a little bit better as it went along. You also, as you mentioned, you had the audience singing along. But yeah, I similarly didn't get this like, oh my gosh, I'm blown away. What powerful vocals. This person is the best singer I've ever seen. Right? Like that was not the takeaway that I had. Not that the performance wasn't fun and not that he wasn't an amazing singer, but it's just, it's not that sort of knock my socks off kind of performance.
Right. So I felt like it's done. In my notes, I also wrote the macaw needs to kill it in the battle royale to stand a chance. But then they started panning out to the audience and the audience are loving it. They're singing along. They're like jumping around. That's when I got nervous. I was like, okay, you know what? I feel like the macaw has the audience right now. And I don't know necessarily if I feel like it's gonna work out in the way I think it is. But also I felt like there were moments of the song where the macaw was out of breath.
I kind of got that sense too. I think also because we've seen such good breath control from him. So it was a little bit of a, like it maybe was a little bit out of character from what we've seen with the macaw. I also noted the same thing about the audience, that they look like they were having so much fun. And then I put myself in the seat as an audience member. Bruh, I would have been living. Like, first of all, that song is super fun. You get balloons dropping from the audience. You know, you've got the backup dancers. There's so many wonderful colors. Like, in terms of the razzle dazzle, and especially the experience of being immersed in that performance, I think that must have been the best one.
Yeah, they definitely seem to have enjoyed themselves in the audience. And then the judges, we get to the clue. And macaw's clue is that me and Nicole have the same love for the Philippines. And Nicole immediately says, I feel like this is David Archuleta. Also, then Nicole's the one who points out the voting thing could have been American Idol, which David Archuleta was in. So she zeroes in that this is David Archuleta. Robin says it's Daniel Bedingfield. Robin, thank you for playing Masked Singer. This is not your week. Sit down.
Who said Daniel Radcliffe? Because it was like,
I didn't even write that. I was so insulted. It's like, this is not Harry Potter. Stop it.
Yeah. But also, he was Weird Al, too. Okay. So put some respect on his name.
Have you watched the movie?
Yeah.
Why are you lying to me?
No, I have. I just didn't tell you.
Why?
Because it was when I was re-listening to a bunch of Weird Al and I thought you'd make fun of me.
Well, you're not wrong, but you don't have to not tell me that.
But you should. I watch weird stuff that
you think is silly as well.
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare I? Why do you have an insecurity about this? I already know you're weird. Nothing's going to change that.
You know what? That's so true. Like, you're going to make fun of me regardless also. So I think it just doesn't really matter what it's about. Just plug and play.
I feel like this is a better thing for me to make fun of you for than some of the other stuff I make fun of you for.
Are you saying you need more fodder?
No, I'm saying you need more fodder because some of your other stuff is worse.
I am your fodder. Booyah, yikes. I am your fodder. All right, whatever. Look, who's counting? Okay, what? What are we talking about? Oh, okay. Yes, Philippines. All right. So back to the Philippines. So I control F on David Archuleta's Wikipedia page, my classic go-to move. And I Googled Philippines control found Philippines. Anyway, he released his fourth album, Forevermore, exclusively in the Philippines. There you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It took a lot of work.
Like Nicole had already confirmed the Philippines connection for us.
But. Okay, she said another person who is well-loved in the Philippines, all right? She didn't actually give the details. I'm just here to provide the facts, people. You're welcome.
Thank you. We do appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So then we get to the battle royale. It's battle royale time. The order they put the performances in were California Roll, Macaw, and then Medusa. If you're put in the middle, that's not a good spot for you in the battle royale. Right? That feels like they don't trust you to land or take off. Which is weird because you can't even make a sandwich analogy because then it's like, you're the good stuff in the middle and then it's bread on each side. This is like if a sandwich was backwards and it's patty, lettuce, tomato, bread, and then lettuce, tomato, patty, which wouldn't make any sense.
Okay, first of all, there's a takeoff joke with the macaw because it's a bird. So there you go. And can we go back to this burger thing? What did you say? Patty, lettuce.
Like an inverted burger.
Yeah, but where's the bread?
In the middle.
I think the bread and the burger are the best part of a burger.
You can't have a burger without those two key ingredients at minimum. But so that would be silly. It's not a burger if there's no bread or I guess if there's but a patty. I didn't say beef. So.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm saying could be beans, could be whatever. You know, I love me some beans. Good source of fiber. Anyway, what's the worst part of the burger? Are you saying the lettuce?
I feel like people can take or leave a lettuce or a tomato or an onion. Again, they're not key. The whole point of me saying that, you are weird. You eat lettuce like it's a snack. Liana, how do you eat lettuce a la carte? Let the audience know.
Okay, so since we've already established that I'm weird and we need to embrace that, I like those romaine. You know how at the grocery store you can buy those romaine lettuce? Like it's three of them in a bag and it's the romaine lettuce heads. So I'll just grab a romaine lettuce head and I'll just eat it. Like I hold it with my hand. Like I don't chop it up. I don't make a salad. I just hold it with my hand and I take bites of it and I eat it.
And she doesn't.
That's not weird.
No, no one said it was weird. No one said it was weird.
What would be weird is if I took a whole iceberg head and I like bit into it like an apple. That's weird.
Oh, yes. The type of lettuce is what would make it weird. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
romaine, fine. Iceberg, weird.
It's because romaine lettuce, it's like eating. It's like you just eat down the little. You just go, um, num, num, like eat down the stalk. But like if iceberg lettuce, you're like taking a bite out of something that's going to unravel. Like, what am I? What? Like, what? That don't make no kind of sense. It's got to be romaine. Just saying.
That is your opinion. But
okay, what's the weirdest food that you eat?
You tell the audience. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't eat weird food.
You actually, eat, like, no, crackers. I do. I think, and this is a thing that Persians would back me up on, but potato chips, primarily like cheesy, like Cheetos, sometimes potato chips with yogurt is a good combination.
Yeah, I guess because I guess that is definitely a more odd combination. I think because I've had it before, but probably because of you that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
because
I think this is not the first time I've said this on this podcast. And you the last time you roasted me, you went in.
Yeah, but now I've had it and it's good. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't go so far to say like Cheetos, but potato chips is with like plain, like non-sweet yogurt is like thick. Oh,
plain yogurt is the best of the yogurts for sure.
I like my 20 grams of protein yogurt.
What happened to you?
Mokonos.
What happened to you?
What do you mean what happened to me?
The beans, my specific yogurt with this specific thing in it. Oh, the a head of lettuce.
It's not a head of lettuce. I said it's the romaine lettuce heads.
Oh, it's a head of lettuce then. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't know. I think when people think a head of lettuce, they think of a head of iceberg lettuce. They think of the ball. Like the round head, Liana, of lettuce.
I speak for everybody when I say the shape of the lettuce does not matter.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The shape of the leaves and the way that they attach to their little like stem thing matters because it is much harder. It is, I'm sure, infinitely harder to eat a head of iceberg lettuce than it is to eat a stalk of romaine because you just go chomp, chomp, chomp like down the stalk of romaine and it all stays together because all of the leaves are fixated at the same spot. You know what? Maybe I should try to eat a head of iceberg lettuce and see how it goes.
You know,
all
here's
right,
the
I'll
thing.
Report back.
Why are you getting defensive over something that you're happy to eat?
I'm just explaining my position. I'm just I'm fired up about the Massinger. Okay, so it's going to translate.
Oh, so we're gonna blame Massinger for everything today, are we?
Fox's fault. Yes.
It
also,
is.
I got a parking ticket. That's the Massinger's fault.
You got a parking ticket?
No, I bike to work. What am I going to get a ticket on my bike? Is that a thing?
No, but you said I got a parking ticket. So I was curious.
It's a joke. It's a bit because that would be funny, right? Because it's like, what's a thing that's completely unrelated? What are you doing?
I'm not laughing. That's for sure.
Oh, man.
Now okay. I'm laughing.
All right. Yeah. See, there we go. It's just, you know, it's when you explain things that becomes funny. So speaking of something that was funny, but not in a funny way, was the fact that they said it was a game of rock, paper, scissors to announce the order. Like that's what established the order or whatever. And I was like, show me. Where are the goods? Show me the rocks. Show me the papers. Show me the scissors. Also, how does a three-way rock, paper, scissors work?
Oh, it's easy.
What do you mean it's easy?
If me, you, and a third party were doing rock, paper, scissors, okay?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And then you and I put out rock and that person puts out paper, they win automatically,
yeah,
right?
But what do they win? First to go first?
Yes. If they eliminate two people, then they go first.
Yeah, but what if they don't want to go first?
I mean, they choose. They get. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I wanted more detail.
There is way more outlandish stuff that happened on this episode than you not getting to watch three people do rock, paper, scissors for 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. Explain to me how that is not hilarious to watch a California roll, a Medusa, and a macaw play rock, paper, scissors. That's hilarious. That's TV gold.
I'm happy to have not seen it because I would have hated to discuss the logistics of, okay, so definitely you, in that instance, you should go scissors so you can go second. Like, no, I don't want to do that.
Always throw rock, baby. In riots and in rock, paper, scissors.
What?
I don't know. It's the first thing that popped into my head. I just say the things that happen in my brain.
It's all that lettuce you're eating. It's not letting you process thoughts properly.
What do you think it's like getting stuffed up? It's like too much fiber. It stops the brain.
In this instance, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do a study on it.
You make me want to run away from this podcast, but Bruno Mars's Runaway Baby was the song of choice for the Battle Royale. Okay.
Yeah. Did you hate that?
No, it was fine. I don't hate Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Sure.
What are you drinking?
Water.
Weird flex, but okay. Yeah, I don't hate Bruno Mars. Okay, so Runaway Baby, California Roll goes first. And listen, if you like good vocals, good razzle dazzle, this was the performance for you. We're talking harmonizing. There was literally a beatboxing role. At one point, one of the roles was beatboxing, and they made the song sound like their own. It was razzle dazzle for days, performance for days. And when I heard this, I thought, all right, easy pickings. California Roll just solidified that they're staying. I'm not worried. Macaw went next. It was fine. It was good. Mm-hmm. But to me, it still didn't beat California Roll. Do we agree? Are we on the same page so far?
Yes.
Okay. And then the Medusa went on, and Medusa took it all down. Like, literally dominated. The Medusa had no problems this episode for me. It was the perfect night for Medusa. Mm-hmm. So Medusa locked it in. I genuinely thought, okay, Macaw is leaving. Good night. And if I'm being honest, part of me was also ready to come shove it in your face that you lost the draft. So I was okay. I was keen on that too. But I felt vindicated is what I felt, Liana. Can I be honest? I felt vindicated that I had said, Macaw is fine. Macaw is not amazing. And I remember being told, nope, you're wrong. Macaw is amazing. And to this episode, I actually felt like what I was saying made sense. As opposed to some of the other times where I'm like, okay, I'm clearly like, I said I don't like the Macaw and I got to lean in. Here, I felt like Macaw wasn't it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who made the finals?
You're not going to win anyway.
No. Why would you say that?
Because you tried to be mean. Who's made the finals?
To whom?
To me.
To whom? No. Why? What did I do?
You just said, well, who made the finals?
Yeah. It's facts don't care. It's facts. It's just facts.
Yes. I look forward to you making the finals, me not making the finals, and both of us not winning equally.
That's so true, though. And also because of the harm. All right. Wait. All right. Okay. Hold on. All right. So let's go back. Okay. Let's go back to the Battle Royale. So I will say I do echo most of your thoughts. The one thing that I would say was a little bit different for me was, like, I'm not a huge fan of the scream singing. So when Medusa whipped that out a little bit in this version, I was like, not my favorite. But I did like that she definitely made it her own. It had the different pacing than the other two songs, which you also saw with the California Roll. Like, the judges mentioned this too.
You know how when, okay, so you're familiar with geometry, right?
Big math fan over here.
Doesn't surprise me, Miss Lettuce. Wow.
Don't laugh.
No, I'm not laughing in a mocking way.
That's, I was gonna say that's a Dr. Lettuce, but I snorted at my own joke.
You snorted at the thought of your own joke.
I didn't even get to say it.
What is this episode? This podcast needs to be scrapped.
Oh my gosh. Cancel Masked Singer. Cancel us. Cancel everybody.
It's over.
I blame the Masked Singer for this.
Why'd you have to go ahead and do this, Masked Singer?
Yeah, okay. This is your fault and that parking ticket.
So the laws of geometry, okay? Angles.
Yes.
Okay? 90 degree angle kind of looks like an L. An acute angle, an obtuse angle. Laws of singing. When a singer starts going closer to a right angle or an acute angle, that shows that they are really putting their heart in it. So the yell singing that you're highlighting from the Medusa, I could see it not being for everybody for sure. But that body language dictates I'm putting everything on the line. And I think that energy is exuded into the audience, into the judges of, wow, she really wants it. Look how acute her angle is, you know?
Aw, you're acute.
I try. You're obtuse sometimes, but mostly acute.
Oh my God, all the time. That just reminds me of, I guess it was season 8 of Drag Race, Dragometry, Rectangle, Girls of the World. Now that's all I can think about.
Yeah, definitely same.
Yeah, same. All right. So the leaning backwards and the so what you're saying is that the angle at which their back is bending is indicative.
If you have angles, if you're standing straight up the whole time, that could seem nervous. That could seem unenthusiastic. Whether you lean back or lean forward, angles in music equal passion, equal energy, and equal determination and grit.
Well, I will say I do like that song, Lean Back. So
it's hard not to.
If we're thinking about Remy Ma and Fat Joe leaning back.
Terror Squad.
Right? Sure. I don't remember. That's passion. That's music. So are you telling me that the macaw was standing up straight then?
Mostly. I feel like not as much angle as the Medusa.
All right, we'll have to go back and do the math.
Yeah, get a protractor out for the for your screen.
Yeah, I got that compass, baby.
Basically, to put it in simpler terms, I felt like even if the vocals could have been shaky at any point, it was very clear in the body language that the Medusa was in it to win it. Whereas with the macaw, I felt this new term enter my vocabulary from Masked Singer in the last couple of weeks is oomph. And I felt like on the night, McCall lacked the most oomph of the three performers.
I see what you're saying. And this could be my bias. I still think his vocals are just so incredibly solid. And I think he just sounds amazing. But I do understand. And I
rank
think for
Liana
me,
on the night, rank the three.
No
in order. Yeah. Just do it.
Oh my God. I would probably say California Roll, Medusa, Macaw.
Don't
make me. That's mean. Okay, here's the thing though. Whether or not we debate about what? Why?
Because I just wanted you to say that because I want it on record that you are someone who clearly has appreciated and enjoys the musical stylings of the Macaw.
Yeah.
And for you and you have macaw in your draft, so you have nothing but nothing. You have everything to lose if the macaw goes out here, but for you to admit that I think is huge and I appreciate that.
I should have lied. I made a huge mistake. All right, I rescind macaw.
That is too late.
Medusa, California Roll.
This is canon now. This is canon. It's on the episode. It's canon.
Nick Cannon. All right. Let me walk you through what I thought was going to. Okay, wait, no. So first of all, I thought there was no way in HE double hockey sticks that the California Roll was going home. To me, this was between Macaw and Medusa, with California Roll being the clear person who will make it to the finale. So as a result of this, the other reason I thought this too is because in the Battle Royale, the audience is they include in this episode the audience cheering for the California Roll. Then go on to say that both the audience and the panel get a vote, where previously in the Battle Royales, it was just the panel who got a vote. But because the audience didn't get to eliminate it or like move someone on, right, they allowed the audience to get a vote. So I was like, all right, the combination of them showing the audience cheering for the California role and explicitly mentioning that the audience was going to get a vote, I thought, okay, California role's got this locked up. I think Medusa's got this. I don't know. It's between Medusa Macaw, Medusa Macaw, Medusa Macaw. Gamma M's all tied up in a tube. So when the California roll was named the eliminated contestant, my jaw dropped to the floor. I exclaimed the exclaimiest exclamation one could exclaim, pause the episode, and ran to the kitchen.
And I was eating and I could hear her footsteps and I knew what had just happened. Stop, I knew she had just watched.
Stop. I could not believe my little earballs had heard that was the case. I couldn't believe it. Now even having gone through it, I'm still shocked. Like I'm trying to even rationalize like, okay, maybe the Macaw had a really good performance when it came to the audience, like the razzle dazzle, all that. And then the Medusa was really strong with Take Me to Church. And maybe the California roll, the harmonies just didn't work in the auditorium, like in the stage. Maybe that's what it was, because we do know that the audio in the stage is just like not as good as it is when you get the vocal mixing on TV. Like maybe that's the case. But even then, I guess I just never contemplated the idea that the California roll was going to be eliminated. Like it didn't even cross my mind that this is the situation we were going to be in. And yet here we are.
And here's the thing. So I tweeted out after watching the episode in my sadness that the Macaw should have gone home last night. Uh-huh. Hashtag the Masked Singer. Mm-hmm. Four responses as of the recording of this podcast. The responses are as follows. Just not sushi. Second response. I would have sent home either mm-hmm. other than the California rolls.
Yeah.
And then Medusa should have gone, in my opinion. I feel like she overperforms, to your point. Mm-hmm. And then someone else just replied and said, Medusa should have left weeks ago. All she does is scream.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think we're all on the same page here. Whether or not you were Team Macaw or Team Medusa to leave, no one was Team California rolls to leave tonight.
Correct. And I also did took a little quick peeksy looksy on Twitter, and it was the hashtag justice for California roll or something like that had at least multiple tweets. It wasn't trending or anything like that, because come on. But at least there's this general consensus of WTF when it comes to the California roll going home. I think, and I've stood by this and I've said this the entire season, to me, they were the first group that I could genuinely have seen winning the Masked Singer. So I was so shocked when they went out. And I'm looking back and I'm like, okay, so the producers of the show must know how big the support is for the California role. So they know that they're going to get eliminated. So is that why we got such a send-off for them? I mean,
that is a good question, because here's what happened, right? So we had, ultimately, they get announced as getting unmasked. The guesses come in. Jenny and Robin got them right. It's Pentatonix. Mm-hmm. And then usually when they do a goodbye, they talk a little bit and then they do a song. And as that song is happening, within 15 seconds of it, we get credits and it's out. We're done. Mm-hmm. Now, when it came to Pentatonix, they got to perform the entire Radiohead song they had done, Creep, mm-hmm. pretty much the whole thing was on here.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's a pander to the fans that, yes, you know, have this. But also in my head, I'm like, do you really want to remind us how bad this decision is by y'all by having us hear this right before they go?
Yeah, I just don't. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand the purpose. Is it like, okay, we need to give them a fitting tribute? Because to me, it also just felt like such a slap in the face of like, this is who you lay with. Like, this is who you eliminated. So it almost was like rubbing dirt in the wound a little bit with allowing them to have their full performance.
Right. I was just sad seeing this. It just made me sad. So yeah. I liked it, but at what cost, you know?
I know. Okay, so now I'm reevaluating the reality of the world that I live in where the California roles are eliminated. Now, where do I think the show stands? Because in my head, I had like wrapped it from when the California roles first performed, I had wrapped it up that I had knocked them as our winner. Like, right. I thought
I mean, they beat Medusa, right? They beat Medusa to get here. Here's what I think is going to happen narratively, right? Okay. There's one of two things that could happen. One of them has to do with the performer, the mask. One has to do with the person behind the mask. So there are two ways the story ends now. Either you have the Medusa win. Medusa winning would be the first time ever someone got pretty much eliminated, saved, and then fought their way back and got to the end and won. The wild card round winner, that's never happened. That's a narrative. That's to do with the costume. The other narrative is the macaw. But in order for this narrative to be true, you would have to unmask the person, right? The person being, we believe, David Archuleta, who came second in American Idol. If that narrative was to happen, David Archuleta, who had a tough time coming second place, gets to the end and wins a competition. That is a narrative here, if the macaw was to win. However, I feel like you get double narrative if Medusa wins, gets the wild card win, and the macaw comes second again, which is also a narrative.
I think the Medusa is going to win.
I think so too.
Like I hear you outline those two options, but, and maybe this is because in my French vanilla fantasy, the California role was going to win. And so that runner up narrative went to the macaw. So now I'm just naturally slotting in the macaw in that runner up narrative once again. So that's kind of like what I'm stuck on. And I hear what you're saying about, oh, it's the person who got eliminated and fought their way back and they're back in. But then I'm like, why would you not want them to go against a California role? Like, is that not so much better? I thought that'd be
the ultimate rematch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One of them beat one the first time. The other one made it all the way back and they go head to head one last time. I think the issue is let's deep it a little further. I think the issue is, I think California roles losing in a final two would be a lot harder for people to stomach than if they went out on third. Especially if we're seeing people say they thought they were going to win. It's a lot easier to be like, yeah, on the night they just got unlucky. The fans got behind the macaws performer. What, you know, when Medusa brought the house down, whatever. Whereas a 1v1, I've been saying this, right? Five people is a cheat code. I don't care how good you sound on the other side. You can't have five different people doing different vocal ranges, beatboxing, harmonizing. It's a cheat code.
Yeah, but then I think as a result, they should get graded on a different narrative, right? It's like, okay, so you have this benefit of having extra people. So you have to still go above and beyond, right? Like you're just maybe starting at a bit of a different level. I'm not saying a better level, but like a different level than someone who's performing solo. And that's why I was so convinced that California role was going to win, because I felt like for that criteria, they absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, see, again, at the end of the day, this is a show for families. They're never going to deep it that much, right? So it's always going to just be who sounded better, who was fun. Oh, all right, God. That's the one. That's it.
Pretty colors. I love the colors.
Did you like that every member of Pentatonix was wearing a t-shirt with the character, the California, the role that they were specifically?
Okay, you know what? I never spent that much time like really looking at what is the detail of each of the California roles. You know, like it was like, oh, they're the California roles. First of all, they're not California roles based on what's inside of them in the classic definition of California roles. And one of them looks like a beat. Is it because he's the beatboxer? He looks like a beat.
I don't think that's a thing.
Okay. I thought the t-shirts were cute.
Yeah, they were nice. I like that they wore the faces of the costumes they wore. That was nice.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah.
It was. Ugh, I'm sorry. I'm just so torn up about this.
It's fine. I'm gonna make my peace with it. The finale's coming next week. One of these two will get crowned. Liana may get crowned as the draft winner, or nobody gets crowned as the draft winner.
It's gonna be Medusa. I am now 100%. Okay, I was 100% convinced California was gonna win.
Yeah, so maybe I would say maybe not say 100% anymore. Okay. Maybe
I am. What's the math on this, Puya? Give me the angles. I am 95 radians sure
that 95 what?
Radians.
What is that?
It's so you can measure angles in either radians or degrees.
Then just use degrees, you weirdo.
But it's the unit of the angle in the international system of units.
Wow.
1 radian is 57.3 degrees.
So you are 90 of those.
It was a joke, but it's like my parking ticket thing. Do you need me to explain this one too? I'm happy to do so.
Boo.
Boo, Liana, boo. Look, all I'm saying is that now, and maybe it's because I'm like, I have to be right about something. So let me be right about Macaw coming in second to make myself feel better. Oh boy. All right. Look, I'm not saying the show is rigged. Okay. I would never in a million years ever say that.
Okay.
Sometimes on Drag Race, for example, which I'm also not saying is rigged, but like maybe sometimes the producers have a narrative and a story in their head that they really like. And I'm just saying, like, maybe sometimes potentially the Masked Singer could also have a narrative that they really like. The problem with that is you're making an assumption about how the audience is going to react to certain contestants, because maybe you are a little bit more positive towards certain contestants than others, but you're assuming that the audience is going to go along with you on that narrative. And I feel like if just maybe that situation was happening here and the Medusa was the one who was chosen for that particular narrative, just saying, I don't see the audience reacting that way. Like, as you mentioned, it was like, I don't care who goes. I just want the California rule to stay. Medusa oversings. Medusa needs to go. Like, I see so much more content in the online discourse about how California rule, A++, Medusa, poopy. Now, again, not saying that that is true. They're all amazing singers. Okay. I'm just saying that, like, the audience reaction to what the show is putting out feels, I feel a disconnect between those two things.
I mean, they got me tweeting about it. So I feel like that's a bonus, right?
Maybe that's what it is. Okay. So you know how some YouTube or not YouTube, like I want to say TikTok, but it could be shorts, whatever, how they intentionally include a mistake so that people engage with it. So sometimes, yeah,
when they do like a mispronunciation.
Exactly. So they'll say sushi roll instead of California roll. And people are going to be like, no, it's actually the California roll. And then that's a way to get increased engagement. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what they're doing here. They're like, let's just create a mess of a show and everybody will engage and we'll get lots of tweets and there we go. Hooray.
And hey, that might be the strategy. And let me tell you, it worked for last night. So
yep.
All eyes on next week now moving forward. But Liana, this was fun. I think,
yes.
I think we had a good time. Let the people know, where can they find you? What else you have going on?
You can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am podcasting about Survivor, which is still going on. We're going to have Grace on as our guest for the B&B, and we're going to have a pretty fun game with the impressions inspired by one Robert De Niro impression on this past episode. And then Drag Race is back. Speaking of Drag Race is back. Almost. The All-Star Season 8 is going to be starting streaming on Paramount Plus as of right now. We're recording this tomorrow. So Amon, Beth, and I are going to be back to cover that season in full.
Thank you, as always, Liana. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. And if you're looking for me on podcasts, I did a bunch this week. So 90 Day, as always, is a good time. I had the penultimate episode done this week. Next week will be the finale. And then I was a guest on Below Deck with Sasha. I hosted the Big Brother recap for Tuesday and Wednesday. Since most of our friends are in Toronto, I held that down. It was a good time. And yeah, that's about all we've got for you here today. We hope you had fun with us. We'll be back to unmask you next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye. Who's under there? I wonder.